All right, open your Bibles this morning. You can put one hand in 1 Kings 13 and another hand in 2 Chronicles 7. No, I'm sorry, 34. We're in 1 Kings 13. Go ahead and turn to 2 Chronicles 34. And I'll just read you the text here out of 1 Kings 13. After having 4 little girls, I was blessed to have a little boy. And I wouldn't trade my little girls for anything in the world. I praise God for them. And now we have some variety in our home. And so, it's a whole new way of thinking for me. She put a little striped, I guess it's just boys, baby clothes upon my little one, and everything's just different. I'm used to pretties and lace and ribbons, and so I got to rethink my home here. And I really got afraid when the baby was being born because the midwife, I guess, was talking to my wife and said something about girl, and she's trying to encourage my wife, and I'm sitting there at the head of the bed, and it sounded plainly to me that she said, "It's a girl." And I tell you what, that's just shocking when you're expecting a boy. And then she did it again, and I still couldn't get in my mind that I'm having a boy. So praise God. I'm glad. And Cynthia was a great blessing. Thank you, sister, for your help to us and our family and everybody who has prayed for us and blessed us, and we thank you for that. Well, I named my little boy Josiah. Josiah Thaddeus Faust. And I named him after the Josiah of the Bible, obviously. And I titled my message this morning, Josiah the Holy Rebel, Why I Named My Son Josiah. And I'm going to tell you plainly this morning that God is ready to curse this nation. God is ready to judge the churches of this nation. And if God ever has mercy, it's going to be because the young people rise up. And for the sake of the young people, God will say, for your sake, not for your fathers who departed from me, for your sake, if you repent and turn from the sins of your fathers, I will have mercy upon you. If not, you're in bad shape. You're in bad shape. Let's pray. Holy God, I do pray for a Josiah revolution, Father. I do pray for a new generation that'll rise up and will be excited about your word, that'll tremble before thy holy word, God. I pray, Lord, that we can set things back the way they are supposed to be, God. As Josiah walked in the ways of David, generations before him, God, and rejected all of the wicked ungodliness in his present generation and in the generations just previous to him. I pray, God, that you'll raise up some godly sons, some godly daughters, Father, that'll take a stand, that'll be different, and be willing to walk with you, Father. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray you bless this message. Give us something to think about today, God. Amen. 1 Kings 13, behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. So God has something to say to us this morning. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. See, sometimes religion just keeps on going. You don't even know you're in apostasy. Sometimes things just continue the way they are. Church just continues, even though you got abominations in the house of God. Church just continues the way it's always been in some ways as far as the outward form of godliness. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord. You ought to get some shout in you. Amen. We ought to get some zeal and wake up. The Bible said in the last days, be instant in seizing. Instant means to be pressing, urgent. The Bible says continue instant in prayer. God's not looking for sodomites. God's looking for some people with some passion, some zeal. God's looking for some people with some diligence that'll pray hard, that'll preach hard, and be diligent for God. He cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, "Oh, altar, altar." Jesus had that type of zeal. Jesus said, "Verily, verily." He had intensity. The old preachers used to write about the intensity of Jesus. O altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. So this man of God didn't bring a nice sermon that day. This man of God came and said, O altar, pretty soon there's going to be a mighty man of God named Josiah. And this man Josiah, he's going to offer some priest's bones. And also he's going to burn the priest upon this altar. I tell you what type of man of God is that? Sounds like a mean man to me. But I'm going to tell you what. In God's program, he was right with God. Years before Josiah was born, God knew what his name was. God already had it planned. Isn't that wonderful? It reminds me of Cyrus. Years before he was born, you had a prophecy of Cyrus. Josiah means God will support, save, and heal. And he's going to use Josiah to heal the land. Young people, you better listen to me today because I'm going to tell you something. God wants to use young people to heal the land. As you look back, the Bible says if you'll bring your arrow back and separate it from the world and then give it proper direction and aim that arrow, the Bible says it'll be a mighty protection for you. You understand that? These children will grow up and they'll begin to heal the land. God will use them to bring forth a revival and will save your hide. See, that's important, isn't it? The land needs to be healed. 2 Chronicles 7, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You say, well, that's just for Israel. Well, friend, let me tell you something. The Bible says in the New Testament that, first of all, supplications, intercessions, prayer ought to be made for everybody that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. Don't tell me that we can't pray and have God bless our land right now. God said he wouldn't curse Sodom if he could find enough righteous people in it. That's important. God will heal your land if Christians pray. Don't you take this promise away from believers when you got all of that right there sitting before us. Okay, look at 2 Chronicles 34. Young people, I want you to listen up on this now. Josiah was how old? Let one of the young people tell me how old he was. How old was Josiah? 8. Thank you, buddy. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Wouldn't that be something to be a king at 8 years old? And he reigned in Jerusalem 1 and 30 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of not his fathers. He's going to skip back generations. His great, great, great grandfather. Now you think about that for a second, young people. In this day and age, it might be that you can't walk in the ways of your father or even your grandmother. You have to go way back to great-great-grandmother. I'm not talking about folks that are raised in holy churches and parents that are doing right. You ought to praise God. You ought to just rejoice in God that God gave you a godly heritage. But there's a lot of folks in this generation, young people, that would seek after God. I'm going to tell you something. Their mama's not a good role model at all. And Josiah went back generations when they were right with God. People say, well, you're trying to live in the past. No, I'm trying to live when people were right with God. I'm trying to live when people feared the Lord and didn't make excuses for God's commandments and warnings. I'm trying to go back to where people were living right. And don't you tell me I don't have a precedent for it right here in the Word of God. He walked in the ways of David. Those are the old paths. Verse 3, for in the 8th year of his reign, how old was he, girls? How old was he? 8 years of his reign. 16. He's been reigning, started when he's 8 years old, 8 years later. While he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. 16-year-old boy says, I'm going to seek after God. I want to know who those old preachers served. And I want to serve that God. I praise God that a 16-year-old boy can get right with God. The Bible says young folks ought to be sober. Instead of walking around with bubble gum in their mouth, giggling like little sodomites, young people ought to be sober. They ought to be right with God. They ought to seek after God. You can play and have fun, but you ought to love God, and people ought to know that you love God. It ought to be evident that you're a man of God. If you wait and say, I'll just serve them, you know, once I get in my 30s. Man, I praise God for Brother Jeremy. 26 years old, got right before he was 20 years old. I got right in my early 20s. Man, I tell you what a blessing that is. We're ashamed for some of our silliness in the past and foolishness, but praise God. Don't you mess your 20s up. While he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the grove and the carved images and the molten images. At 26 years old, Brother Jeremy, he began to purge. God began to use him to cleanse the land. At 20 years old, verse 8 will be when he's 26. But praise God for that. I believe Josiah went against the customs of his age. I believe Josiah went against what was popular in his day. I don't think he was very popular. As he starts walking around and saying, that's idolatry, that's paganism. I mean, it's worship, this is religion. These are the priests. And he said, this is pagan, this is pagan, this is pagan. People said, what in the world is this guy doing? And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence. And the images that were on high above them he cut down. And the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces and made dust of them and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. I want you to understand something. Revolutions, revivals do not arise by being nice to everybody. There's just no way possible. That's not a revolution. That's not a revival. There's going to be a revival because somebody says, I'm sick of being nice. You think I'm lying? You watch every revival in that book. Somebody woke up and said, no more nice guy. You think Josiah was nice? He's not nice in the effeminate, modern way that we use that word, friend. Josiah was a fireball. Josiah went around and basically purified everything in the land. Said, you don't like it? Tough. Holy change comes when people are faithful, not when they're nice. And I like that Josiah didn't just speak against the idols. He didn't sit here all timid and said, well, you know, I think that's wrong. And you have your way and I have my way and I just think it's wrong. No, wherever he had authority, he broke them down. Amen. This speaks of fathers. This speaks of pastors. Wherever you've got authority, you ought to tear them down. Jesus had authority in the temple, and He cleansed it. He came just like Josiah. He came and tore down. They were selling, they had money changers right there in the temple, which was the house of prayer. And He went in there with a whip, and He started scourging the people. Josiah tore down the idols. Jesus preached and cleansed the temple. So the Bible's saying wherever you have justified authority, if you want God's blessing in your life, you better tear down the idols. Jacob knew how to do that. On his way to Bethel, he said, "Put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments." And friend, I'm going to tell you something about Jacob on that day. He wasn't messing around anymore. And I know good and well that everybody in his house said, "Yes, sir, Jacob." And they went and they got rid of their earrings. They got rid of all that nonsense and they cleansed themselves. And if I know one thing, if they wouldn't, he would have cleansed it for them. That's Jacob. You weren't going to mess with him on that day, friend. He's got revival. You pray for revival. You know what that means? I'm showing you revival. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon the altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. Now this is serious. This is a big no-no. Instead of praising the compromising leaders of recent and some former generations, he repudiated them. He showed to all that they were blind leaders of the blind. They had went off course. That'd be like somebody today waking up and getting revival and saying, "I don't care what you think about Billy Graham. Billy Graham sold out to the Catholic Church and to the Masons. Billy Graham says there's no hell. Billy Graham says I'm preaching the same thing the Pope's preaching. Billy Graham is not a man of God." Now, you preach that stuff today, you're going to hurt some feelings. But that's where we went off, see. Letting the media make a celebrity out of somebody that's not a fundamentalist. And then we're supposed to accept him. They're supposed to give him back to us and say, "Here is your fundamental. He's going to be your leader." I didn't ask for him as my leader. I repudiate what that man stands for. So what happened? A lot of people got saved from Billy Graham. What does that matter? Josiah, I'm sure these priests had done some good things in their life. But Josiah stood up and burned their bones. And they said, "Now hold on a second. That was my hero." Josiah says, "I don't care. They were wrong. They were messing with idolatry." I believe they said to Josiah, "Do you dare repudiate these great men of God? A young man like you? Where is the generation of David? You say you're walking in the ways of David way back then, but we're in a new time today. You can't walk in the ways of David. And plus, I heard David had moral problems." I think that's what they said to Josiah. But you know what? I don't think Josiah cared what they said. I don't think Josiah even asked them their opinion about the matter. That's what's so wonderful. You go cry, suck your thumb, do whatever you need to do. I think that's how Josiah was. Josiah said, "This is wickedness. I'm going to walk in the ways of David. And if I'm not a friend to you, I'm a friend to David. I'm a friend to David's God." And that's what's important. You want to get with the program and get blessed with Josiah? You come along. Oh, I like this too. You think Josiah had done enough by pulling down the pagan? He started making women mad. They had some nice little curtains that they'd put on the sodomite houses. Some nice little garments to decorate little rainbows and, you know, little triangles and stuff. And they'd had them all decorated on the Sodomites' houses. And Josiah pulled down their curtains. He pulled down all of their little fabrics that they'd made for the Sodomites. And then Josiah said, if that's not enough, I'm going to burn the house of the Sodomites. So he wasn't politically correct. 2 Kings 23, he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord. I tell you what, we got some Sodomites getting close to our house in the house of the Lord, don't we? They want to come. They want to be accepted in the house of God. They want to go to all these big preachers with super churches. And they want to say, accept us, tolerate us. And everybody is afraid, you know, let them come in. We'll fellowship with you. That's all they want. They want acceptance. Where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars and burned men's bones upon them and returned to Jerusalem. He didn't just burn their bones. He killed the priests. He tore down the houses of the Sodomites. People say, well, in this age in America, where there's freedom of religion, you can't just go burn down Sodomites' houses. Well, friend, wherever you do have rightful authority, you better have the spirit of Josiah. You understand that? I want you to see the spirit that was upon Josiah as a young man at 16 years old, at 20 years old, and at 26 years old. The spirit that was upon Josiah was opposed to paganism and opposed to the Sodomites. He had a godly, masculine spirit upon him. And the Bible says the glory of a young man, if he'll walk in it, is his strength, his boldness, not his wimpiness. Which means if a young man's right with the Lord, he's going to preach hard. He's going to praise hard. He's going to worship hard. He's going to fight hard. And he's not going to be easily swayed by the culture. He's going to say, I'm a man of God. I'm not a Sodomite. Verse 7. And when he had broken down the altars in the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. You know, former generations told us, you can't be nice with foolishness and sin. As evolution was taking over the Baptist colleges, a generation of fundamentalists arose and said, you can't be nice to evolution. You can't be nice to liberalism and modernism and all of these people that deny the virgin birth. I can't hold hands and say, would you come and preach at my church, you nice liberal? You don't believe in the blood atonement, but that's okay. Let's hold hands and you can preach at my church. Well, these fundamentalists said, no, we're going to take a stand against it. They had the Josiah spirit. They were ready to fight. But the next generation of new evangelicals said, we want to be nice. We want to be compromising. We believe like our fathers, but let's hold hands with sin. That was not the Josiah spirit, friend. And ever since then, from about the 30s or 40s all the way up till now, our churches have grown weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And Christianity is now a joke. They call it a post-Christian culture. How in the world do we have a post-Christian culture with so many Christians? Because you got a bunch of weak Christians with a Sodomite spirit upon them. That's what the problem is. Verse 8, now in the 18th year of his reign, when he's 26 years old, when he had purged the land and the house, he went to Shaphan, the son of Azaliah. And Matthias, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when they came to Hilkiah, the priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God. And look down at verse 14. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. I want you to realize what just happened here. Pay attention to this now. Josiah, with the light that he had, began to purge the land. And God, when he saw that spirit, decided to give him the Bible. What does that mean? You want revival? You want blessing in your life? Start tearing down some idol. Over and over, the Bible says, draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. Come out from among them, touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you, I will begin to bless you, saith God. So the point here is this. You show a spirit that is manly and zealous and diligent, and quit explaining sin, quit excusing sin. I'll begin to give you revelation. And anybody that walks in the spirit of Josiah says, oh, I've got enough revelation, and I'm going to go tear down the houses of the Sodomite. Well, God says, you haven't seen anything yet. And God begins to open up the scriptures to his mind. Why? Because he was being obedient with the light that he had. If the scriptures are a dead book, you don't get anything out of the sermons when you come in here, it's because you've got some clogged pipes. You understand that? That's the problem. And when you unclog your pipes, you'll understand some things. And we'll be able to communicate. And the Word of God will make sense to you. He gets the Word of God. They find the old commandments, those ones that are out of style now. Verse 18, then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. Now you follow this. What do people usually do if they stumble upon the old ways and laws of God? They make excuses. They begin to mock. They say, well, we can't live like that now. This is a new generation. They scorn the truths of God. They are proud. They're smarter than their grandfathers. But what did Josiah do? Josiah, when he heard the old commandments of God and the warnings that accompanied those commandments, when he heard the old commandments of God, he tore his outer garment, which was a sign of distress and repentance. He tore his outer garment and he began to repent. He was terrified. That's interesting. I wonder how some of those other folks responded when they heard that old law read. Commandments that generations, centuries ago had followed, that have been left in the dust by a new pagan Sodomite generation, which had the form of God and religion, but they might as well have been a bunch of Sodomites. What do you think they thought about the laws that they heard? They smirked, they scorned, they said, that's ridiculous, we can't follow that anymore, that's not part of our culture anymore. And so we have a contrast between the religious crowd and Josiah. Josiah falls on his face. Josiah is trembling. He cannot believe. It'd be like a man saying, I want to live right, and start following this King James Bible based on the light that we have, just like we did as a church. And then God begins to show us, well, you ought to bring your wives home. Wow, I never saw that in the book. Why didn't somebody tell me that? That's what's wrong. That's what's wrong with our children. Then God begins to restore more from the law of God. And the whole time He wants you to be terrified by His Word. God forbid that I even get close to obeying or disobeying that commandment. Look at verse 21. Go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. According to God, according to Josiah, he says, we haven't been obeying these commandments. God's going to judge us. What did Josiah do with the warnings? Josiah believed the warnings. What if somebody said to Josiah, those were only for a former time? You don't have to worry about those warnings. He says, our fathers haven't obeyed these things. He says, we've been disobeying this for so long. Our fathers have been disobeying it. God is about to judge us for our fathers who have not been obeying the word. And you know what people say? When you give them the words of God and say, you know what, this is an abomination right here. You know what they say? They say, none of our fathers have obeyed this. It's been a long time since our fathers, preacher so-and-so didn't obey this, and doctor so-and-so didn't obey this. Well, you're still in a lot of trouble. You can be in trouble and not even know it. Verse 22, and Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess. And they spake to her to that effect. And she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent ye to me. Thus saith the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof. Even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah. There it is. I will bring evil upon this place. Verse 25, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands, therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. Okay, get this straight. Josiah is going to get obedient. God sees his obedience and gives him more of the Word of God. He responded to light, God gave him light. Josiah sees the light and says, we're in trouble. Our fathers hadn't been obeying these commandments for generations. And God says if we don't obey these commandments, He'll judge us. So Josiah repents. Then says, go to God. The prophetess comes and says, yeah, you're right. You interpreted it right. The warnings meant what they said they meant. Or the warnings, they're literal, says God. That's what he's saying. I meant it literally. I'm not kidding around. So, Right now, we're in a serious situation because so-called fundamental Christians have not been obeying the Bible in regard to holiness. And there's warnings where God says, if you don't live holy, here's what's going to happen to you. And if we get on our face before God and say, God forbid, I wrote a book about it. We ought to fear God. We haven't been obeying these things. I think God's showing us right here that if He was to speak directly to us today, He would say, yeah. When I said terror, I meant terror. When I said hell, I meant hell. When I said stripes, I meant stripes. From what I see, when God says something, He expects you to hear it. What if they came to Josiah and says, Dr. So-and-so, Dr. So-and-so says, we don't have to worry about those commandments anymore. Dr. So-and-so says, we could never be punished because we're the temple of the Lord. That's what they said in the days of Jeremiah. We're the temple of the Lord. We can't be punished. Look at 26. And as for the king of Judah, oh, this is a key. You want to listen to this right here now. As for the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall you say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the word which thou hast heard, because thy heart was tender and thou did humble thyself before God when thou heardest the words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof and humblest thyself before me and did rend thy clothes and weep before me. I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thy eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. God gives us a key here that we should never, ever forget. He shows us that when somebody says, I don't believe that. I don't believe that warning. God says it's because they're proud. Right here in the book. Josiah believed the warning, and it made him cry. Josiah saw that, wow, generations have not been following this commandment. And you said it's an abomination. And you said if we don't follow it, you're going to curse us with diseases and judgment and terror. And pretty soon you'll just take our candlestick out of its place. Now you listen to me. God said, you tell Josiah that was the right spirit. And you tell Josiah, because he heard the warning and my commandments and responded with humility, I'm not going to do it in his generation. What that means to the young people is if you follow God and fear his warnings, you can bring a revival. You can grab a hold of God's mercy and He might let you continue to have a country here in America where you're not controlled by a bunch of Chinese that come over here or Iranians or whatever it is. Somebody's going to take over America. New World Order, bankers, I don't know who's going to do it. They've already practically taken the thing over. But if you want any country left, if you want any peace in your life, you better get right with God. Because the former generation says just play with a bunch of computer games, just watch a bunch of trash on TV or videos, just play around and giggle and draw little wicked pictures and stuff all over the place, and it doesn't matter about anything, just don't be serious about God. Yeah, you go that way, and you see what God does. But Josiah had the right spirit. Oh, he teaches us something here. How do you get Josiah's blessing? Because you know what? Josiah found mercy. It's by having a tender heart. By being tender and humble toward God's commandments. Isaiah 62, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. What did Josiah do? He trembled at the word. But I think the older men, I think the majority of people in Josiah's day felt that Josiah was being mean and hard. I mean, the women had decorated them sodomite houses and Josiah tore them down. I bet they were sitting over here, you know, you can't just come and mess up our religion like this. I'm sure the sodomites said, that wasn't very nice. And I'm sure the priests that were being burned on them altars said, that's not very nice. And then when he dug up them bones and put them on the altar too, I think they said, that's not very nice. You're not a very tender person. You need the Holy Spirit and you need some tenderness and humility. You know what? God says, I don't see the way man sees. God says, whatever man esteems is an abomination to me. God looked down upon that mean, hard man and said, I've never seen such tenderness. God says, what tenderness and humility is in that man? Now, if Josiah would have patted the sodomites on the head and said, good boys, went to those women and said, oh, what beautiful garments you've decorated the sodomite houses with, and went around and looked at all the temples of Baal, and there's one of Jehovah, you know, and it's all mixed together. If he would have done that, people would have said, what a nice man you are. Oh, he's the sweetest pastor you've ever seen. Oh, what a nice king he is. But you know what God would have said? God would have looked down upon his nice, effeminate, sweet self and would have said, there's a hard, arrogant, stubborn man. Wow, we got two different ways of thinking. God says, my ways are not your ways. See, here's what we're going to learn here.